Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the 21st chapter, the last chapter of the Gospel according to John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came into the boat, and dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will take a belt around you and take you to where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate a kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Years ago, living in Maine, I had the opportunity to hear many good storytellers, and I'd like to tell you a story that I heard up in Maine. There's this couple that's riding around somewhere south of Bangor, and they pull up to a house where there's an old man sitting on the front porch. He notices right away that they have Connecticut plates, so he's going to have some fun with them. And they ask him, "Well, how can you get from here to Searsport?" And so he says, "Well, go down the road, come to a four corners, and take a left. And you would drive about 5 or 6 miles, and you're going to come to a stop sign, and you want to take a left there." Well, they go for about 8 or 10 miles, and you're going to take another left. And a few miles more, and you're going to take another left. So about an hour later, they pull up in front of the guy's house again. And the husband gets out and says, "What are we doing here? We were supposed to go to Searsport." So the guy thinks for a minute and he says, "Well, I just wanted to see if you could follow directions. Now I'll tell you how to get to Searsport." Well, keep this in the back of your mind as we think about this encounter between among Jesus and the disciples, and especially Peter. This story is at the very end of the Gospel of John. As I told you last week, it's quite clear that originally the end of the Gospel of John was the story of Jesus encountering Thomas and Thomas's declaration of belief. And then we find this story that is added on to the end. We don't know where it came from, but it's a wonderful story. So the basics of the story: it's on a beach, it's early morning, the disciples are out fishing, and they see Jesus, and he's there with a small fire getting breakfast ready, and then they have breakfast, and then Jesus has this conversation with Peter. But it's not just Peter. It's Thomas. You remember, of course, was the one who had such doubts. Peter, of course, who had denied Jesus. Nathanael, who is at the beginning of the Gospel of John, was introduced to Jesus by John the Baptist. He's one of the first disciples. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the two guys that wanted to sit on Jesus' right and left side in glory. And then there's a couple others. We don't know who they were. Each of these people, these disciples, is prominent in John's gospel. There's a story about them, or more than one. So Jesus, or Peter rather, decides he's going to go out fishing. And they're out all night. They don't have any luck. And early in the morning, as they're still in the boat, there's this guy out on the beach. And he calls out to him, "Did you get any fish yet?" "Well, no." "All right, put your net out on the other side. You'll get some fish." We don't know how Jesus knew that there were fish on the other side. It could be that where he was standing, he was able to see a school of fish that for some reason the guys on the boat couldn't see. And they had this huge haul of fish, so many that they thought the nets were going to break, but they didn't. And it has puzzled biblical scholars and commentators for 2,000 years why it is that we are told how many fish specifically were caught, 153. And there have been all kinds of theories about what the 153 fish stands for. I have absolutely no idea. Frankly, I don't think it really matters. Amen. There were a lot of fish. That's what matters. And the net didn't break. Some people have seen the symbol of the net not breaking to represent the church, which I think actually could be a part of that. That no matter who comes, that there's space for them. So anyway, roll that around in your head for a minute or two. And as the meal is over, Jesus has cooked the fish, probably tilapia, which are very abundant in the Sea of Galilee. When I was over in the Holy Land 5 years ago, we had a chance near the Sea of Galilee, up in Galilee, to have a meal, lunch, with what's called now Peter's fish. And they are tilapia. It was a great meal. We had a wonderful time. And then after the meal, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Why do you ask? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? What are you getting at? Feed my sheep. And then Jesus tells Peter, you know, when you were young, you could get up and go wherever you wanted to. But when you're old, somebody's going to tie you up and take you to a place you do not want to go to. And then he says, follow me. Now think about it. After all that they had been through, that Jesus would say, follow me. They hadn't just met. They'd been through 3 years of ministry together. They had been through Good Friday and had gotten past Easter. I wonder if Jesus was setting something up here. So stay with me for a minute. Think about the details that we are told about this story. It's early morning. Imagine the sun's just starting to come up. There's a little fire. Can you think of another story in the Gospels where it's early morning and there's a little fire, a little charcoal fire? Think of the night, the early morning, when Peter is sitting out in the courtyard of the high priest by a charcoal fire. And somebody says to him, you were with that guy Jesus, the one that's in there right now. No, it wasn't me. No. And then somebody else. Weren't you with him, Jesus, the guy? No, it wasn't me. Are you sure that you weren't with him? You've got an accent. You talk like he does. No, I don't even know him. I have no idea who he is. All the Gospels don't tell us this, but in Luke's Gospel, there's one little tiny detail that, to my mind, is one of the most dramatic moments in all of the Scriptures. After the cock crows three times, Luke tells us that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. So three times, Peter had denied Jesus. On the beach, Peter has the chance to affirm his love for Jesus three times. Whether it's intentional or not, we don't know. But I'd be willing to believe that it was. What Peter gets here is a second chance. There is nothing that feels better than a second chance, is there? I was thinking this morning, listening to Dave playing the cello with that wonderful piece, The Swan, by Camille Saint-Saëns. I was asked to play that once in Newport on the cello, and was never asked to play the cello again. In church, at any rate. But we'll have Dave back for sure. It's always good to get a second chance, isn't it? Peter knew that he had made a mistake. He knew the instant that Jesus looked at him, and was living with that for the week or so, a couple weeks, until this conversation. There are elements here, too, of the calling of the disciples. Many have wondered why it is that they all went back to Galilee and went back to fishing. You might think, well, after all they had been through, didn't Jesus tell them that they were going to go out and they were going to be engaged in ministry and spreading the gospel? And here they were sitting on the beach. and out on the boat fishing, but I wonder if in the back of their minds they were going back to where everything had started. Because they had been called from their boats on the beach of the Sea of Galilee as a way of trying to recapture that sense of being called. So we find here a reminder of the value of reconciliation. Reconciliation is not as easy to do as you might think. We all carry around lots of baggage from wherever, with missed opportunities for reconciliation. And so here the disciples had a chance to start over. So think of that couple, that Connecticut couple driving up to the old Coots house. As he says to them, well, I just wanted to see if you could follow directions. Now I'll tell you how to get there. In a sense, this is what's happening here. The disciples had been through so much with Jesus, and now he's prepared them, and they are at the point where they can go out and minister to the world. And so it's no accident that after this encounter that Jesus has with Peter, he says, follow me. And this time, it's not going to be like it was before. Walking with Jesus physically, asking him questions, listening to him, watching him as he encounters people. This time, they're going to be on their own. But not really on their own. He's still going to be with them. He told them on the night that he was betrayed that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be his presence with them no matter what they were doing, no matter where they were, no matter how badly they messed up. They would not be alone. What he's telling the disciples here also is that there is no point in looking back. The point about being reconciled is that although you remember what it was about, you don't let the pain and the burden and the guilt from the past hold you back. And that's what this is really about. When Jesus is reconciled with Peter, or Peter is reconciled with Jesus, he is in effect saying, okay, you messed up. It won't be the last time, but forget it. Move ahead. Move ahead. There's more important stuff to do than to dwell on the guilt. So follow me. Jesus extends the same call to us. Take all your mistakes, all the missed opportunities for reconciliation, pack them in a suitcase, stick it in the back of the closet, and forget about it. And follow him. Amen.